Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. So welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala with, the Twilight. And, it's your time for your morning economic conversational program. And, with me, David Shombe, like, any other day, this is a time where we discuss, global affairs, continental affairs, and indeed regional and, national affairs, particularly on the ground of economics, on the grounds of development, and on the grounds of advancement, particularly when it's coming to human development, infrastructure development, and indeed economic affairs. Yeah, it's the 6th of November 2025. We are moving progressively toward the end of the year, and you already need to understand that there is no any other month between 2025 and 2026 rather than next month, which is December. And wherever you are finding yourself, it's quite very important, particularly this time, to look at yourself and also see what have you done well, what that thing that you did not do well, and what are you building from there, particularly when you look at the past 11 months. And it's quite there's been quite a very busy year. But the fact that you are here, the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite talk radio station, I think that is quite very important. And the fact that you are awake is a blessing, and it's quite very important also to start the day with gratitude and appreciate things that you have, and also look ahead. Yeah, and I think it's also very important to thank Dwight for standing in for me, particularly those days. But now I'm back. And, we should begin as it has always been. So yeah. And, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is not the one directed conversation. This is, a multi directed conversation. It's a conversation that require input. It's a conversation also that, require constructive criticism, because, driving the conversation of, economic affairs does not only require one person to drive, but it require another person to give advice, and indeed, also to move the conversation forward, because, you know, there is quite a lot of things which are happening, in the country and also at the continental level. We understand that, when you look at, the judicial system, I think it's for the first time, magistrates are on strike, and you're asking yourself to say, how is, Namibia justice system going to be? What is the impact of this, to Namibian economy? And also, how is justice going to be delivered, particularly to those who are in need, and also those who are at the edge of economic affairs? And there is a saying to say, justice denied is justice delayed. And also, you're asking yourself to say, when you have a vacuum, particularly within the judicial system, how are things going to work out? Because that was the last line. Defense, how are the institution going to operate? Are we going to give more power now to traditional authority to fill that gap, or we are going to have a state where prosecution will be things of the past, and what is the rights of those who are accused? But yeah, it's something that need to be looked at, and also conversation that need to be expanded, particularly when it's transpiring on that judicial affairs. You don't know, but yeah, that is what's happening. Let's quickly look at continental affairs, and we also look at what's happening around the world when it coming to global power players, and also issues of economy, and also global affairs. Let us start with Kenya. Let us start with Kenya before we go to the main conversation for today. It's quite very important to look at what is happening with Kenya, especially regarding continuation of talks between Kenyan government and also International Monetary Fund, especially when it's coming to discussion regarding the adjustment of loans and also their payment plan. It was indicated that talks between Kenya and International Monetary Fund for a new lending program are at stalemate, as the country finance minister said, and is indicating that there is quite a bit of disagreement, especially between Kenya and also the fund, that is over the classification of debts. And looking at the world economy, it's quite also important to look at when we are comparing Namibia of paying $750 million, particularly when it's coming to its second Eurobond, which was borrowed on in 2015. There have been a lot of analysis, but it's not only Namibia. Other countries are struggling. Other countries are struggling even to pay their debts, and they are busy having a different conversation, particularly when it's coming to classifications of those loans. And remember, when you also compare to countries like Ethiopia was also busy trying to reclassify the types of loans that they owe to foreign investors, from commercial loans to concessional loans, due to the economic situation. But that is what's happening on the other side. But it's quite very important to look at this news, especially from Kenya, and also to see what can we learn from this, because the world economy is growing, slowing down, and its impact is felt day by day. And when you look at countries such as Kenya and Ethiopia, and those are the most trusted countries, particularly when it's coming to driving of African Continental Free Trade Area, and also the expansion of African trade, it's a bit of a concern, particularly when it's coming from that side of Kenya. And when you look at the in-depth part of it, you can also be able to see that when it comes to Kenya, stated that of Kenya, $40.5 billion in external debt, and it's owe, 14.4 billion to the World Bank, and $7.52 billion to Eurobonds investors, and almost $5.04 billion to China. That is according to Treasury data. And compared to Namibia, I think, although it's not something to celebrate it about, other countries are in danger, especially when it's coming to dealing with foreign debt, and also their plan and programs on how to sort out this. So let us look at Kenya and move forward.
Talks between Kenya and the International Monetary Fund for a new lending program are at a stalemate, the country's finance minister said Tuesday. John Mbadi told a news briefing that the disagreement was over the classification of debt. According to Mbadi, the international lender wants securitized loans to fund infrastructure projects classified as sovereign debt, Nairobi objects. Mbadi said that further talks will be held to reach an agreement without specifying when. Nairobi has sought a new bailout from the IMF after the expiry of the previous $3.6 billion deal in April. In October, the country managed to reprofile its $5 billion loan acquired from China to build a modern railway to Yuan, thereby saving the treasury millions in interest payments.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially when it comes
on October 1st, 2025, the Marble Hall,
especially when it comes to that side of Kenya. And one may also want to ask to say, when it's coming to the deals with institutions such as World Bank and International Monetary Fund, is there a plan for independence in terms of national financial management, or is just getting finance to continue depending on them? It's also a question of concern to say, when you look at from 1978 to 1990 there, you'll be able also to see that when it's coming to the programs of reforms, readjustment of financial, institutions, and also when it's coming to different versions of loans which were given with strings attached, particularly when it's coming to reforms of governance and also reform of operation of government. These are some of the things when you look at the IMF and also especially developing countries have been criticized by economists. But let us look at IMBA. They move forward.
Great news. IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and 16 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are progressing with Early Morning Scoop. And let us look at China and also the U.S., particularly when it's coming to military operations in Nigeria. It was stated that China has pushed back against United States President Donald Trump's threat to launch a military operation against Nigeria. And it was stated that Trump has accused Nigeria of failing to protect Christians in the country from Islamist, militants. And it was stated that, the foreign ministry or the foreign minister of China on Tuesday stated that China supports Abuja in leading its people to follow a developmental path suited to its national conditions. And China has opposed the interfering of United States when it's coming to the military threat against, the government of Nigeria. And, in a few days ago, Trump has indicated that, Christians or Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria from jihadist groups such as Islamic State, West Africa and Boko Haram, and is the government of Nigeria which is failing to protect. That's why Trump indicated that he's planning to send some military troops there. And the question is, how is it going to turn out? Is it going straight to against Nigerian army, or is going straight to those who are invading or who are killing Christians, particularly the stated militia groups such as Boko Haram and also other Islamist state. But that is a development, and these are two global players. Either is an economy, either is military power, who indicated that China is not supporting that and is opposing the intervention of United States of America in Nigeria. Let us look at this news before we go to Tanzania. Then we can come back home, particularly to the conversation for today, where we are going to look at international trade balance. We are going to look at where are we standing as a country? How are our business, particularly in terms of national trade? And also to see that how things are moving, to say, are they in line with what we stated as a country? Are they in line with our national aspirations? Or are we speaking about one thing, then the results are quite different? And what really changed in the past, we can go to 10 years or 5 years to see when it's coming to our trade balance, particularly when it's coming to the export and also the import of commodities, to say, what have we changed? How did we add value to our trade balance? And also, what have we done as a country, especially when it's coming to the commodities that we have been speaking about, to say we are very tired. We are very tired of selling only raw materials. But so far, where are we? Have we even started with a program of value addition? Either is to minerals or either is to, to our products. How are the condition and how are the operation of agro-processing in Namibia? And how come it's only the top five commodities which are competing with each other? And also to see when it's coming to trade balance, how is the financial situation? Because finance is quite very crucial, particularly when it's coming to the development of the country. How is the financial situation? And also what are the developments so far? And also comparing to what is happening to say now, if you are in this situation, how is it going to be in the next 7 months? Looking at NDP6, looking at what is happening in the country, I do not even want to put the impact of magistrate strike. I do not want to add the impact of paying out the 750 million US dollars. Back to the international investors. What gap did it left, or did we use that to create more opportunities? But that is a conversation that we are driving into. However, for now, let us look at this situation of China and United States of America, especially when it's coming to the dispute over the killing of Christians, and also the inability, or the alleged inability of the government of Nigeria to protect the Christian nations. Is there other motives behind this communication, or is just part of what is communicated, and how is it going to be looking at the future? So let us look at this news and move forward.
To its national, China has pushed back against U.S. President Donald Trump's threat to launch military operations against Nigeria. Beijing's foreign ministry said on Tuesday that China supports Abuja in leading its people to follow a developmental path suited to its national conditions. China opposes any country interfering in other countries' internal affairs under the pretext of religion or human rights, and opposes the frequent use of sanctions and military threats. Trump recently claimed that Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria from jihadists, including the Islamic State West Africa and Boko Haram. But according to Amnesty International, attacks on Christians in the country's northeast are not religiously motivated. About 46% of Nigeria's population is Christian, according to U.S. government statistics.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially that side of, especially when you speak about, China. And also, United States of America. Because, America saying that, the lives of Christians in Nigeria are not protected. That's why they want to send one of the, to send their military there. And, looking at the fact, the U.S. military is one of the strongest militaries in the world. And it's not the only one. It's not the only one. And I don't know if it's going to the government or it is going to those who are against the Christians. And the question that we also need to ask ourselves is that when it's coming to international institutions, when it's coming to international laws, there has been, pronunciation, especially from the developing world, to say, let us respect international laws, and let us not allow, external. Let us not allow aggressions. Let us support the issues of multilateralism. And that is where other countries are standing, especially those who are pushing for the developmental agenda and also maintaining of global peace. And also to ask the question to say, is war a profitable business? Is it war going to bring peace? Especially when it's coming to to Africa and also other developing worlds. And the question that you're asking yourself also is also to say, who is the main beneficiary of the chaotic activities in Africa? Because if you ask that question, you'll be able to understand to say, for you to have a strong militia which has night go glasses and also bulletproofs and automatic machine guns and many other advanced weapons. Who is supplying these people and who is benefiting from this? And where is these militias and other groups such as Boko Haram getting the fundings from? And also, where are they buying the equipment from? Because as far as we understand, when it's coming to weapons and armor production, Africa is not the main continent for production of that. Most of the things that we use to kill each other here in Africa, we buy them from outside, and somebody is benefiting from that blood. And you are asking yourself to say, how are things going to be if that of which is stated to happen, happen? And also, what will be done, especially from that part of China? And we're going to have another war. We're going to have another war, or we're going to have stability. Because after every war that we see, after every chaotic activity, people always have to sit, and the destruction of war is unimaginable, especially when you look at what have happened in countries. Look at Gaza. Yeah, look at Iraq. Look at Sudan. Look at the DRC. And people do not even know whether things are going or coming. And the lives of an ordinary person continue to deteriorate, particularly in the war zone countries. And you'll be able also to see and also ask yourself to say, what happened to the women and children in those areas? Yeah, but that is a conversation that needs to be expanded. But let us look at Tanzania. Look at Tanzania. It stated that Tanzanian authorities face mounting concern over the killings during and after the last week elections, with the largest opposition party indicating that, the security forces were secretly dumping the bodies of 100 killed in violent that shocked the region. You'll be able to understand that on Monday, Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan, the president of Tanzania, was sworn in after a very controversial elections, which have seen the banning of main opposition in contestation of that elections. And you will also be able also to see the president was declared the winner, or Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan was declared the winner with more than 97% of the votes. More than 97% of the votes. And that is also caused a little bit of chaos. And of chaos, especially from positions such as Chadema. And also, you can also be able to see and also ask a question to say, is this real democracy? Is this the real democracy? And is this what the founding fathers of Tanzania expected? And or there is something that need to be questioned? And you can also see the pronunciation of SADC, so to see what is the impact of such activities in the democracy of SADC. Because remember when it's coming to institutions such as regional institutions, they have opportunity to give their opinions and also rights, also to give an observation and also guidance too, to say this is how things are being done. And looking at the history of Tanzanian elections, I think President Samia Suluhu Hassan, she's the only one with who reached these records of 97% of the votes. And when I was looking at the records of Tanzanian elections, not even her predecessor John Pombe Magufuli reached this percentage, because I understand that though John Pombe Magufuli was one of the most celebrated heroes of Tanzania, I think the last time he got around 84-85% there. But Mama Samia got the records of 97%. And you're asking yourself to say, what is the stand in the pronunciation of SADC, and also ways the SADC chairperson, because remember, in terms of diplomatic institutions or in terms of...
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we're speaking about the situation in Tanzania, where you'll be able also to see, opposition leaders and also authority accusing security forces of hiding the bodies of the victims of violence or those who suffer during the violence of during and also post-elections. And also remember that the president of Tanzania had to be sworn in a most private ceremony due to the situation of security in the country. And also it's a wish of every African for peace and also stability, because we cannot afford to go back 50 years from where we came from. And it's a wish of every African for peace, because when you look at Tanzania was a champion, has been a champion of democracy. For those of you who follow African politics and African history, be able to understand that it has been the center of the liberation struggle. Because we're speaking about Tanganyika. That is the place where most of the veterans, particularly the veterans of the liberation, look at Southern Africa and many other countries, were trained. And it was a center of promotion of Pan-Africanism and democracy. But how things are now, you are just asking yourself to say, is this the best Tanzania can do, or something better need to be done? And also to give perspectives. But yeah, let us look at this news and come back home and continue with the conversation for today.
In the crowd. The Tanzanian government faced mounting concern over killings during and after last week's election, with the largest opposition party charging on Tuesday that the security forces were secretly dumping the bodies of hundreds killed in the crackdown. A spokesperson for the main opposition Chadema party challenged the authorities to take responsibility for the killings.
Chadema and the public do not recognize the Samia Suluhu Hassan as a leader right now. So the entire country is in a vacuum. So if you want to talk about the future, it is about the reforms for a fresh election, that Tanzanians can have an opportunity to elect their leaders.
And for us, Mwenyeshi ruled out a relationship with the ruling party in the absence of reforms.
Accountability of what has just happened. We want to see who those who are shot Tanzanians for the past 6 days, those who killed are being held accountable, and that is by the ICC and by the UN. And if also they want to negotiate, it is a fresh election that you provide an opportunity for Tanzanians to elect the leaders they want.
President Samia Suluhu Hassan was declared the vote winner with more than 97%, a rare landslide victory in the region.
Yeah, that is, what is happening? That is, that is what's happening. And, you are listening, especially those, the cries of, those who lost, their kids during those protests, particularly, protests which were, against the result of elections. And remember, it's not only in Tanzania. You are just asking yourself to say, what's happening with the current African democracy? Is that the democracy with African characteristics? Look at, Cameroon. Where Paul Biya won elections with, over 50%, and, extend his rule for 42 years. And you can also be able to see how people have reacted, particularly those who protested, and many other countries. Many other countries. You look at the situation in Madagascar. You are just asking yourself a question to say, is this where we are going as the continent? Is this the best that we can do? And the current administration the best that we can do, especially when it's coming to reaching of African aspiration? And mind you, reaching the very beautiful goal of Agenda 2063 and the Africa that we want is not requiring one country to behave well, one country to have a stable democracy. It requires the combination of all African countries, and also it also requires the understanding, the capacity of all the African, you know, people to understand where they are going, to understand the trade, and also to understand their contribution to national and continental development. Because if you do not have peace in Africa, if you do not have quality education, if you do not have foresight thinking, then we should forget about African Continental Free Trade Area. And most importantly, you must have quality and effective leadership that can drive that main priority areas. Because looking at the situation now, and also looking at where we are going as a continent, we'll be able to see that, you know, a lot of things need to be done. And it's yet for us to see how things are going to turn out. Because if you read the African Agenda 2063, the aspirations, in the Africa way is, you know, Africa where development is human-centered, where Africa where development is driven by the Africans, Africa where the continent is global competitive, and also attachment of the friendship programs of, you know, of African Continental Free Trade Area. You're asking yourself that, are we moving at an understandable pace? Are we driving progressively, or we are moving backward? And also to ask yourself, what is that need to be done? Because when somebody is internationalist, does not necessarily mean that it's just an internationalist at a global level, but it has to start with where we are, to say, what are we doing as Namibians to make sure that when it's coming to reaching of continental priorities, we are doing something? What are you doing as an ordinary person? What are you doing as a taxi driver? Are you only driving for yourself, or are you driving to take a Namibian child at school, at one piece, and also to make sure that you contribute to the local financial situation, or you are just standing on your own? Because we need to think about this, to say, for us to have the whole world, we have to start at an individual level, because the world is nothing but you, and that is how other person is looking at you. Don't think the world is somewhere far, but we are the world, and we need to make sure that when it's coming to issues of development, issues of governance, issues of maintaining peace, we are working together as one. But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, then we can come and look at the conversation for today, especially on the ground that we are going to look at international trade balance, to say, man, when it's coming to Namibia, what are those things that we sell outside? What are those things that we sold the previous months? How much profit did we make? And also, are we progressing, or we are decreasing in terms of profit? Has it been like this? Do we need to change something? And also, how do we lose money in terms of this? Or how do we gain money in terms of this? And who are our main trading partners, and what are we selling to them? And also to ask the question that people don't really ask, to say, which country have been supplying with what materials, and what have we learned from that? Or are we just continue to supply that without learning anything? Or we need to make sure that at least when it's coming to lesson learn, we have a different game plan when it's coming to trade. And issue of trade policy and external relations should not only an issue of being defined, but should be practiced, to say, when somebody is sent to negotiate a trade agreement, this person must go with the whole heart, and also must go with the interest of Namibians, not only for a deal, but also for long-term sustainability of Namibian, you know, of Namibian development. Because remember, when you reflect on conversations such as public and private sector forum, you'll be able to understand that we understand where the problem is, and we have been continually identifying where the problem is, but we did feel to nothing, particularly when it's coming to changing of the status quo. And like we are always saying, to say whatever is happening, the problems of the world should not wait for us to put our house in order. It's us Namibians who have to make sure that at least if you are a trade analyst, if you are a trade advisor, if you are a chief negotiator, and if you are within investment institutions, make sure that when it's coming to Namibian priorities, we don't just speak, we don't just call investors, but we do and practice what we say and what is in line with our national aspiration. Because trade balance is not looking correctly, it's not looking well, and numbers has a lot of stories to tell us, because numbers, they do not have emotion, they do not lie, but they have a lot of stories to tell us and also for us to learn. And remember, there's always something to learn, there's always something to learn, and there's always something to change about, because the fact of numbers, they are telling you that you are driving at a certain speed, or you are not driving at all, or you need to increase your speed, or you are going out of line. And also to look at how do we track records of our progress. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can come back with international trade balance, particularly when it's coming to Namibian commodities, what we sell, where we sell, at what percentage, and also what does it mean to Africa and development in general.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Yeah, it's 44 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. We are here until the hour of 8 before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day, before we give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. So wherever you are finding yourself, wherever you are finding yourself, the fact that you have opened, or the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite favorite talk radio station, we're gonna continue to engage you and give you content and context, especially when it's coming to what is happening around the world, and also in Namibia when it's coming to issues of governance, trade, and also economic relations. Now, with me, I have trade balance, trade balance, international trade balance report. And this is a summary of what we sell outside Namibia. That is export bills, and also what we buy from outside world. Either it's from our neighbors, either we are buying it from far, and also to see that as a country, what is that that we are doing well. And also, what is that we are not doing well, especially when it's coming to commodity prices, and also issues of transportation. To say, if you are in business of exporting, what trade routes are you using? If, for example, you are exporting a certain product, what is the contribution of an SME? What is the contribution of MSME to that exportation of that product? And if you are exporting a product by air, how many people have capacity and also finance to export via air or with an airplane? And also it can also already tell you to say how export is categorized in terms of the quality of finance, and also the categorization of business. And international trade balance report with me, can also be able also to see that when it's coming to the wealthy of Namibia, what are the commodities which are standing on top, at what percentage, and where are they going, what are they bringing in the country, and how are those money used to benefit Namibians. And also you can expand also to say, is the trade balance of Namibia reflecting our national aspirations? Is it reflecting where we want to go as a country, or is moving in a different directions? And what is that we need to do? Do we need to blame the global affairs? Do we need to blame those who are driving priority areas? Or we need to have inside look, and come up with a critical self-assessment as a state to say, no, this is what we are doing well, this is what we need to do, and this is how we can improve. Because there is nothing better than understanding that we are not doing something better, and knowing what to do, and also doing what you say, especially when it's coming to issues of trade. And the very interesting thing about international trade balance is that it's a summary. Summary by, Namibia Statistic Agency. And it's been given, every month, because now we are looking at the month of September, to say, when it's coming to Namibia in September, what have we sold to the world? What have we bought? At what percentage? In comparison to the previous month, which is the previous months of the months being discussed, which in this case is August, what is the difference, and also how is the financial flow? Now let us look at the summary and move forward. The international trade balance is indicating that in the month of September, Namibia export revenue, or the money which came in from commodities, products, that or services that we sold outside the country, is standing at $7.4 billion Namibian dollars, and it's reflecting a decrease of 3.8% when it's compared to the months of August. Now, Looking at money came in, $7.4 billion, but there's still a decrease in terms of comparison to the month of August. And remember, it may look like data of a month, But when you look at the global prediction of slowing down of the economy and also global prediction of Southern Africa economic growth, which pointed out to some countries, but not Namibia, pointed out to some countries such as Ghana, such as, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, and also at some point, Zimbabwe. But when it's coming to Namibia, we have to make sure that, we deal with our own challenges, and we can boost the trade. And when it's coming to countries' expenditures on import, to say, what have we bought with? What have we bought? How much have we used to buy our products from outside Namibia? The statistics are stating that the import expenditure of September stand at 10.8 billion Namibian dollars, and it's also showing a decrease of 16.4%, which in September it was at 12.9 billion. And one will also be able to understand that when it's coming to export and imports trade, deficit is 3.4 billion, mainly due to import that outpaced export, which means that, we are buying more than what we are selling, although at all fronts we are decreasing in terms of the finance being used, either is to buy, either is finance also being generated in terms of in terms of importing of products. Now, it's also a question of concern, not really to say this is how trade have been. It's a question of concern to say, compare this with the previous month, and also compare this with the previous year, because issues of economy is quite very critical, because there is a lot of players, and I want one day somebody, an ordinary citizens, either you don't need to be a journalist, you don't need to be a media personality, you don't need to be a researcher, just an ordinary person, whether you are, you are a vendor. And I want you one day to attend a function of financial institutions. Then you listen to those numbers. Then you listen to the good words. Then you listen to corporate bank executives presenting and smiling equally to say Namibia economy is doing very well, or Namibia economy is progressing and is stable and is assisting in developing of Namibian nations. Yes, it's a very good thing to be positive, and it's also a very good thing to present about. And actually, we are not saying financial institution or banking institution are not doing anything, but you'll be able to understand that what is being done cannot be recognized, because challenges are a lot than what is being presented. Now, let us look at key issues within. Let us look at key issues within this international trade balance, especially when it's coming to trade. And they stated to say when Namibia is selling, her products, what are some of the key trading partners or key trade areas, especially when it's coming to exports, and compare this with commodities too, to say when you have an export, you must also compare with commodities, to say in the month of September, you have in terms of exports, we have China, where there is 12.0 of export products. Then you have Zambia with this 12.5. You have 12.5%. You have Botswana, 14.0%. And you have South Africa, which is the main trading partner, 17.8%. Then you have United States of America, that is 8.7% of exports. Now, you're asking yourself to see, what do we sell to China? What do we sell to Zambia? What do we sell to Botswana? And what do we sell to South Africa? And indeed, what do we sell to, the United States in terms of percentage of market share? And at what volume? You also need to ask yourself that question. And interestingly, you can also ask yourself that question to say, could it be that even if the volume of product that we send outside the country increase, our export bill will continue to decrease because of challenges such as tariffs? Because tariffs are still standing. Because of challenges such as tariffs from the United States of America. Challenges such as the indirect trade rearrangement from South Africa due to their economic defense mode, because they also have to survive, especially from tariffs such as 30% imposed to them. Could it be, even if we work so hard in terms of exporting much volume of products, we will not make what we were supposed to make because of global affairs? Then the question also, you need to ask yourself that, what can we do to improve the situation? That is just at export level. I was very angry and shocked at the same time, especially when I have one specialist. I think I have mentioned this before. One specialist, it's a labor specialist, international labor specialist, saying, "Oh, you Namibians, you are even buying toothpaste. Toothpicks from China. Just an ordinary toothpick. What can you do if you are buying a toothpick from outside the country? You are using foreign currency to buy a toothpick." Then you're asking yourself to say, man, can I also not just use those that opportunity at least to invade that market? And also, why is it so difficult for us to buy a machine or to learn where they are made from? I thought it was a joke, but it's true actually, because I'm yet to see toothpicks made in Namibia. It looks funny, but that is how far we are. That is how far we are. And that is how, difficult it is. Imagine, at any point in time, you are at the hotel, there is a toothpick, bunch of toothpicks, and you're asking yourself, where are they made from? They are transported by ship, and they are bought with foreign currencies. And how much money is spent into those simple, products that, we thought we could do them? And what can we learn from there? And the trade balance does not lie. Now, let's go to a short commercial break. Then we are going to look at, top export commodities and import commodities to see, when Namibia is spending a lot of money outside, what are we buying? And what are we selling to the world? How do we make our money? What are we selling to the world? Are we being appreciated what we sell to the world? Or we just continue to be Namibia, the country of raw materials? And remember, natural resources not handled very well, they also get finished. Particularly minerals, they get finished. Or they lose value. They get finished, they lose value. People, something come up. And if you don't take advantage of that, things will never work out. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll come back after 7, because there is few seconds before the hour of 7. Then we'll progress at an understandable pace. So we are unpacking, we are discussing international trade balance at Early Morning Scoop.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread for only 27 Namibian dollars 99 each. And 10 kgs Sugar King brown sugar for just 169 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 9 November 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Eagle. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, dora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. And today, we are discussing the issues of September International Trade Balance to say, what are we selling outside the country? What are we buying? And also, are we in line, are the numbers in line with our national aspirations? And have we made a dramatic change in terms of the way we do business from the past 5 years? And oh, we are just still at the talking stage. Because if it was a relationship, our relationship with trade, especially looking at our trade policy and what Namibia is aspiring to do, and also what Namibia is aspiring to be, and also hey people, we also to see that when you look at 5 years ago, look at our trade balance, when you look at our pronunciation, they are quite very clear, especially the pronunciation to say this is what we want our trade policy to do for us, this is what we want our domestic policy to do for us, this is what we want from the world. And are we doing that yet? When you're speaking about economic diversification, have we started? And when we are speaking about value addition and mineral beneficiation, have we started or is still at a talking stage? And when are we going to start? Because the question is not a question of blaming. It's also a question of accountability and checking to see that when are we starting, and also how are we going to start? Are our young people understanding? Are they understanding these national aspirations and also priority areas? Are the councillors, the elected, and also those who are contesting understand what we do beyond the constituency? Do they understand what need to be done from a constituency to the world? Do they understand what is needed, what is being sold, and also what is being bought? Do they understand that after 35 years, the young people of Namibia, they are still buying toothpicks from outside the country? They are not able to make toothpicks. How many engineers have innovated? Let us not go there. Let us see what can we do. How is our growth at home strategy working for us? Have we made an assessment and evaluation to say there is a growth at home strategy? What do we have internally? What do we need to buy internally so that we can supply our domestic institutions? Or do we depend more on the outside world? What will happen because things will not always be the same. Your friends are not always going to be your friends, especially when it's coming to international affairs. And those things are very clear. That's why countries which have been friends, they change allies. They change allies based on the interest. And based on administration which are there. Because when you look at, for example, Nigeria and the US, these have been very good trade partners. And they share a lot of commonalities due to resources, due to interest. Either it's tech, either it's oil business. I understand. And especially when it's coming to Dangote Refinery and many other business persons. Not only Dangote who is in Nigeria in oil business. There are also other business persons. And when you look at the trade volume between Nigeria and U.S., it's quite big, but when you also look at the new administration and their interest, and look at what Trump is also doing, you also be able to ask questions to say friendship in international trade, international relation, they change with time, they change with time, and it's also aspect of you know what you need to do before you are caught by surprise. So let us look at what is that Namibia is continue to sell. Outside the country, and what is our top five export commodities when it comes to the month of September? What are we selling? Top export commodities when it comes to the month of September. Stated that the top five export products for September, in terms of percentage, number one at the top we have uranium. Uranium was Namibia's largest export commodity in September, which is accounting for, yes, which is at, it's number one. It's number one at the top, five export, which is accounting for 21.1%. At 21.1%, followed by precious stones, which are at 6.7%, followed by fish, non-monetary gold, nickel, ores, and concentrates. Now, the top five products that Namibia export did not quite change in the past 5 years. They change in terms of who is number one and who is number two, who is number three, but they did not quite change. I want you to take international trade balance report of any other month. You can look at 2021. Then you'll be able to see that in the top five, we always have uranium, we always have fish, we always have precious stone, we always have gold. Now, the question we also need to look at is that even if we sell this uranium, is at what percentage and how much are we gaining from that? And how much we own of it? And have we negotiated with what we do not want to negotiate before with? Or have we negotiated why? That the new administration, the eighth administration, does not want things to continue being negotiated as they were negotiated before. Because attending the public and private sector forum, the president has said, you know, guys, she did not say guys, but she has said, people must not negotiate with poverty mentality. You must use your resources as bargaining power in a negotiating room. You must bring your investors, your interested party to their knees based on the resources of the country. Now, if you have uranium at number one, uranium is the most needed commodity in the world. How much are we selling the uranium? To who? Who is selling it? At what form? And how is the revenue in terms of that? That is the question. Now, look at the change in terms of trade in terms of trade affairs, you must also be able to look at where was uranium in August. August uranium was at number 3 with 7.1%, where at number 1 was non-monetary gold and also fish. And, you know, precious stones and diamonds were nowhere to be found in top 5 export products. That was now in August. But when it comes to September, if uranium at number 1 and precious stones, which diamonds included, at number 2. Now, this is the unpredictability of trade. This is the unpredictability of international trade. And when you look at the unpredictability of international trade, you must also be able to realize that at any point, at any time, we have less control. We have less control of how we do business. We must depend on what is happening outside the world, because what we do is we still sell raw materials. Now the question is that, have we ever or have we started expanding from the conversation to the main actions? Have we started building industries? Have we started building industries? And also maybe ask yourself, who are these companies which are polishing and cutting diamonds? How many of them owned by Namibians? Maybe you start asking that questions. And when are we going to start expanding into that sector? How many trials have they been made with our own uranium to say, can we try to use them internally? What is the game plan at a power station? There was one question I've asked, but it was not answered, but it's fine. There was one question I've asked, especially regarding the update of our green schemes. Because agriculture being key priorities and also one of the economic enablers in NDP6 was or has to be prioritized. But when it comes to monitoring and evaluation, it's a thing of speaking to say where we are now. We are on the 6th of November 2025. There was a debate in Parliament where certain parliamentarian indicated to say almost green schemes are almost 100% operational. And that was quite a very interesting thing to say. If green schemes in Namibia are almost 100% operational, that is a very good thing. Now, let us track the progress to say, are we moving directionless? Or are we moving for the sake of moving, or are we moving to a certain direction? Now, if you're 100% operational, that is a good thing. When it comes to reporting, and I've seen, somebody must take a document of midterm budget review. If I'm not telling the truth, you must advise me. Or if I'm being creative about the truth, you must advise me. Then when you take that midterm budget review, you also be able to see that there are certain green schemes that are stated to be what they are producing. My question has always been to say, why others are not mentioned? Are they producing one potato or one tomato? Why are they not mentioned? So let's look at Imba and come back.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
when life gifts you an unexpected breakdown. Take control with Express Credit. No need to panic when you're in the driver's seat of your financial life. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 081-9500-500 for more information.
Why pay more when you can pay less? At you save 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body lotion or cream, just 29.99 Namibian dollars. 350 milliliter trusted palm olive shampoo and conditioner, just 38.99 Namibian dollars each. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, 133.99 Namibian dollars. Any 2 1-kilogram bags Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, just 58 Namibian dollars. Save $2. You save, I save, we all save. At you save.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. And, we are looking at, international, trade balance to see what are we selling and also what have we done? What have we done, especially when it's coming to the commodity prices, when it's coming to the rankings of commodities and also when it's coming to value addition to say if every Namibian, leader Namibian, you know, business operator, every Namibian politician is speaking about, value addition. How many Namibians are adding values to their product? How many initiatives are successfully being recorded to be part of, adding of value to the products of Namibia? How is the progress of, growth at home strategy, support locals, and also maybe those who are in manufacturing to also update us to say when it's coming to uniforms, any other uniforms, where are they made from? You can speak about security uniform, you can speak about a firefighter's uniform, you can speak about school uniforms, you can speak about shoes, can speak about any other institution's uniforms. Where are they made from? How many of them are part of growth at home strategy? How many of them are made by Namibians? And I remember I think it's last year where the minister of that time it was industrialization and trade indicated that there is indication that school uniforms, every region will have a supplier locally, and Namibia, especially schools, must start supporting or they must start being supplied by local suppliers. I just want to get that view, especially if you are in that sector, if you are in that sector of clothing business, to say how many of these things are produced by Namibians when it's coming to uniforms and also other products. And when it's coming to agro-processing, to say, in terms of, for example, tomato, how many tomato sauce are being made in Namibia? Even juice themselves, even juice at the larger scale are being made from Namibia, from Namibian products. Or we just sell mangoes after we grow them and we come and sell them at an open market, and that is the end of the story. Or we have extended to a different level. How many wines are being made, Namibian wines, apart from Oshitufi and many and few others, made by Namibian products? Because the moment we start asking those questions, it's also the moment we start to see the direction to say, Neman, I think some of these things we can make them our own. Some of these things we just need skills. Some of these things we don't need to sell. We need machines. Then we can make more from selling a finished product than a raw material. Oh, no, we spoke about this in 2010. We spoke about this in 2015. It has been spoken in 2020. Now we are at the end of 2025. And it's only a few years before 2030. That is our benchmarking. But we are still speaking about value addition without doing any addition. Maybe somebody should also advise me to say, how many, give me 5 key products that Namibia added value to from its or their own natural resources, from their own mining or minerals, and value to it. So the final product. Because when you start from there, it will be easier. It will be easier for us also to see where the direction is, because when Dangote said we are selling jobs and importing poverty, he did not really mean that in an insulting way. He meant that in a way that we are selling jobs as final products are going to be made, where more many jobs are going to be created outside the country, but they are created by us. Now, look, I want to give you a practical example to say that when you do not have Africa as its own slave master by selling raw materials to the world, if Africa stops selling, how many countries are going to suffer? There's one caller who indicated to say the debts of France, for example, are unimaginable, but the world is not making noise about that. IMF is not making noise about that. World Bank is not making noise about that. The debts of France now are unimaginable. Now, I'm not saying it's entirely because many African countries cut their ties, especially the hostile regions, which were paying colonial tax, and were also selling, raw materials. But the fact remains to say, their debt to GDP ratio is unimaginable. It's over 100%. And it also caused a bit of instability when it's coming to the governance structure, particularly parliament and the prime minister. Then the question is that what best can we do now to learn from that and see that in terms of what we have something of value which can sustain, Western, Eastern, Southern, and Northern economy if there is a region of classification like that in terms of economy. But we are not making use of that. So yeah, let's look at the short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are speaking at the International Trade Balance of September to say what are the numbers saying, what are the statistics, are we in line with what we want as a country, or we are speaking one thing and numbers are telling us a different thing. And also to say what can we learn, especially when it's coming to from discussion to action, and from actions to results, and also overall, satisfaction of human in Namibia. And looking at around, we'll also be able to look at, apart from looking at our trade partners, we'll also look at issues of what mode of transportation are we using, and what a better strategy can we be able to use when it comes to trade. Because one may also ask to say why Namibia has best road infrastructure in Africa, but in terms of accidents they continue to increase. Maybe it's also a question of asking to say having a best road infrastructure and depending in one form of transportation, particularly when it's coming to local trade, I mean regional trade, you'll be able also to be having a situation of a conundrum when you have a lot of thousands of trucks on the road within a certain period of time. That can also disrupt your logistics, can cause accidents, rather than prioritizing other cheaper alternative and long-term sustainable form of transportation, especially in terms of long-distance commodity transportation, their safety, and also the health of human capital. And you look at those who are driving trucks, somebody driving between two countries and only resting for 2 days, You also be able to ask the question of the health of that person and also the ability of that person to continue to save. How long can a truck driver drive within that zone? And how many have proper medical checkup also to make sure that they sustain that, operation? So let us look at the caller and also see what he has for us today. Hello?
Yes, Mr. David Sombe, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm well. What's up?
How are you, man? How was it?
No, it has been fine.
How was it?
No, it has been well.
Good. So, yes, yeah, we know it has been long. Yeah, and we have been taken through by your colleagues.
Okay.
It has been very wonderful.
Okay.
And during your absence.
Okay.
So, but now democracy in Africa, and all these exports, trade balance, and whatever you're talking about, I don't know how. I miss the figure and the trade balance.
Look, Nick, can you please stand at one place?
Stand at one place?
Yeah.
Okay, let me stand at one place.
Yeah.
So, how is our trade balance? Because I did not hear the figure properly there.
No, just know that we are decreasing at all fronts.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it will require us to, we need to put more effort.
No, efforts are there because even if you increase the volume of your trade, if you are still selling raw materials, these changes in the world, particularly tariffs, you are not going to win.
You are not going to win?
No, you are not going to win because remember, we have been having deficits. Sometimes we can also have a surplus in terms of our trade balance. But now, now look at our key trade partners such as China and also South Africa.
Mm.
Yeah, these guys, they also have tariffs imposed on them.
Yeah, when the tariffs are imposed on you, my friend, what it tells you is that you need to strategize and work more harder.
Then
you now close the gaps that is left there, the gaps that are left there. So when the tariff is increased, what does that tell you? Tell you to reorganize your market. One, to make sure that those products or those areas that are put in that difficult position, it is now you to revive them and make sure that you find new entry points there to do that. So it's not a good thing, but I know. Then when they are imposed on you, what do you do? You surrender.
No, I'm not saying we should surrender, but you know where the question is to say, when we spoke about value addition, have we tried, especially with minerals, or we just speak?
Yeah, no, we can still diversify in other areas where there's potential. I heard you talking about some of the areas where we can really have some, boost in terms of income or production. So you can also identify some of those areas. And if the mining is not doing well, then look at other areas which may have the potential to boost your economy.
You and I spoke much about development, especially with agriculture. I don't want to give you a homework, Ne. I want you to get for me information regarding the progress of other green schemes to say, are they still operational?
Yeah, so because I heard when they are now, the government is borrowing money from within for consumption. And they are looking at those green schemes, the ones perhaps that have not been working very well, so they want to revive it. They want to revive them and make sure that where they have been dormant, things are no longer going to be the same again. So it is those areas that the green scheme, especially green scheme, that we need to boost. We need to work more on so that we can finally get our trade balance in order.
Okay. I want your view on magistrate being on strike. What is your view on that?
Yeah, I've been following that thing. So, but it's not averted.
Come again?
So I thought maybe they are going to avert it. So I know the minister is not around and all the stakeholders that might be there. Continued, they not just avert it.
Why?
Because, you know, eh?
Why?
I mean, by having some kind of dialogue within the magistrates and things like that. And when the things are being headed by those ballists like Metcalf and others, see to it that it's a serious battle. So I think you just need to, because there are already a lot of, a lot of work piling. So I think they just need to make sure that they implement those, what is it that they have agreed on, so that it doesn't get to worse. So, but I think if they can negotiate and make sure that they implement some of those things, you know, these are lawyers, my friend. And remember, they can always give you big, big trouble. So you need to be careful on that. If they can resolve it amicably, I think it will work.
Yeah, because it's quite scary, because you don't have, what people do not know is that you don't have a Supreme Court without a magistrate, because that is a first, it's a first court of appearance, and you don't have any other case without that.
You see now. I think they are somehow, some of the roles are consolidated, isn't it?
What do you mean?
You mean some of the laws, some of the duty, the advocate, this magistrate, whatever.
Yes, I think we lost, the caller. Hello?
Sorry, man, I don't know what's happening.
Two minutes.
I think I'm done. What I'm saying is that if they can avert that situation, so it's fine. So, and I was also thinking that, yes, anything that you said to before it goes to higher court or Supreme Court, so all those things, they pass through there. That means they have a very great responsibility in the functions. And you don't need to overlook them. Otherwise, we create and we don't want our system to be like the one in South Africa. I've been following that thing. That what's PTK, is it KPTT?
Yeah, political killing task team.
So let's be very careful to guide against our justice system.
Yeah.
So that we don't find ourselves in those kind of things. So I think they will find an amicable solution to that.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, that is it. And it's also not a very good thing. Especially when the judicial system is the last line of defense when it comes to democracy. And when you have that gap, it's very difficult to be filled, because if you have an angry magistrate, if you have an angry, judge, if you have an emotional prosecutor, things will not work out. That's why it's quite very important for that, and everybody's hoping for that to be resolved, because people think it's not any other person, because that's where the law is. Because for now, if you commit a crime, and the basic understanding of the law, say you must appear before a magistrate within 48 hours. And the question is that who will fill that gap? And imagine, who is this guy, the one who speaks a very good English the oil and oil case. But imagine when you do not have people like that at the office, and the pile of work that they have, and the critical aspect of that, and when you don't have them, I don't think you have democracy. And the fact that in terms of traditional authority, they are also not given enough power, who's going to deal with order in the society? And something which really need to be looked at, because when it's coming to state institutions, an institution of judiciary, if it's not handled very well, then will be, don't know, it's not going to be stateless, it's not going to be a collapse of state institutions, but it's going to be chaotic if you do not have a magistrate anywhere, at any district. And remember, it's not only about criminal aspect, even your weddings, your marriage, your disputes, and many other activities. And that is something that should not be handled with, because people think, when people are talking about the court is not a building. The court is that person that you are calling your own. The court is that person that you are calling, you know, your majesty, your own. And the person that you are calling my lord, that is the court. The magistrate, in the magistrate court, he or she, that who stand, who presiding over the law of that country. That is what you call the court. That's why, if they are not there, I don't know. And something that need to be looked at and also handled. But yeah, it's 37 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with early morning scoop. We are looking at international trade balance, particularly when it comes to Namibia and also the external world. And it's quite significant, it's quite very important to see that, look at the number, look at the details, and also see what, the possibilities of changes. What are the possibilities of changes? What are the challenges? And also, what are the opportunities within our trade? And also to say, when we speak about, form of transportation in terms of international trade, how many Namibian business persons utilize those form of transportation? And when you speak about our great aspiration of moving toward Africa continental free trade area, how many of our Namibian businesses people are exporting their products, or they have no option but just buying within, you know, the country, things, or just buying within the country without any other option? And, how many of Namibians have the power to say, I don't want to buy what is in Namibia, I'm going to import my product from somewhere? And, also, what is the inequality in terms of the way, we do business and, how we do things? So, let us look at transportation, because transportation matters. There is no trade without logistic. There is no trade without logistic. And the logistic is the center of trade. And proper logistics will smoothen, you know, transportation from the logistic hub, from the seaport, airport, airline, railways, super trains, trucks, taxis, and also shorter distance, you know, transportation. Even drones now. Those are the key players. And also to look at the infrastructure, to say, in terms of trade, does the infrastructure matter? Is an infrastructure a factor in declining of your trade balance? Is an infrastructure of logistic a factor in the declining of your trade balance? Or is your infrastructure of logistic increasing your ability to do business and also your ability to develop? Because if you trade, if you sell and buy, there is always transportation cost. The cost of delay, if your truck is delayed on the checking point for 2 days, that is business delayed, and that is also delay of finance. And if you have smooth roads and super infrastructure when it's coming to railways, then it's clear, understandable, and increase the way you do business. So now, in terms of export mode of transportation, to say how many, or in terms of export mode of transportation, to say during the month of September, how many of at what percentage products exported using of roads infrastructure, I mean roads using sea and also air? Now, in terms of export sea transportation maintained the top position as a leading mode of transport for export. Many of the products were sold through, sea transportation maintained the top because it's at 44.3% of, export in terms of mode of transportation, which means that 44.3% of export products or of exports were transported via the sea. We speak about boats, ships, and other form of, sea route transport system. And at the second, there is air, which means that 30.8% of exports were transported by air, that is airplane. And when they are transported by air, who is making money from this air transportation? Who is making money from this air transportation? And who own this, airport? I mean, airlines. Who own these airlines, particularly those who are transporting? And who is making money from that? Is that our money? Or somebody also in that aspect making money from that? And yeah, 24.9% transported outside Namib to outside of the country via the roads. And that is quite interesting. But when it comes to import, the shift have changed, or there is a shift in terms of Namibia trade balance of September to say 51.3% of imports were transported via roads, which means that we speak about trucks, buses, and other form of transport that are using the roads, which means that the majority of the things which are coming in the country are brought by trucks and also are coming via the roads. And there is no railway here. There's no railway here. It's not part of the portion. There's no railway. And I remember one of the callers always used to say that connecting railways will create employment and also ease the aspect of transportation and reduce congestion in terms of roads and these traffics that we are always seeing, particularly when you look at trucks that are carrying products. Because if you have a train and it's coming to oil, it's coming to copper, it's coming to stones, and it's coming to other products, one road can have reduced the congestion on the roads. That's why the aspect of railway has always been the question. In terms of import, via A is only 2.5, which means that many of the things which come in are not by air or they're not by planes, but it's only via the roads and also the sea. And in terms of sea transportation, you have 46.2%. These are your containers. These are your import containers. And you also need to guess. So look at maybe these are include cars, electronic equipment, and many other aspects which are coming via zero. So let us look at ECN and November elections, and come back.
Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is a participatory event. The essence of democracy is in your participation. Therefore, make sure that you participate by electing your representatives in the regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Democracy starts with you. Preserve it by getting involved. Go vote. Your vote is your voice.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with early morning scoop. And yeah, it's elections time. Go and speak with your favorite candidates and also ask them what are they going to do for you. And also ask them what they have done before. And also what method of accountability are you putting in place? How much time are they going to use to report back to you? Or you only need to see them now, then you'll see them again after 5 years. And also looking at issues which are affecting our bread and butter. Whether you're electing local authority councillors, if you're electing regional authority councillors, the issue of citizen at heart, they must be prioritized. Must be prioritized because it's undeniable that many of Namibians need critical or urgent assistance, particularly when it's coming to opportunities and also when it's coming to advancement of their lives, either it's housing, either it's issues of information accessibility, and also the general quality of life, where happiness is at the center of that human beings. Because like I'm always saying, there is no advancement in terms of human development without happiness, because happiness as a quality of being is associated with the life satisfaction and also ability of that person to be very happy about the future, where he or she is able to send his or her kids to better schools, and is also be able to be optimistic about the future and how things are being done. So that is the conversation. That is where the conversation is going, especially regarding our trade balance. And you can engage us at 083-288-401, especially when it's coming to issues of development, it's coming to issues of governance, when it's coming to the issues of trade. Yeah, we are into a short commercial break, then we'll come and also conclude, especially when it comes to early morning scoop. And we are also going to look a little bit on before we go. So going to look a little bit on financial action task force, and on that note we'll also look at issues of how many countries are removed from the grey list, to say if countries such as Burkina Faso, South Africa, many other countries are removed, those who were given around 20 deficiencies to be worked on. What about us, Namibia? And also, what can we learn from that? So, let us look at the commercial break, then we can continue.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle.
Yeah, it's 51 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are progressing at an understandable pace with Early Morning Scoop. And the question that you asked to say, how much money Africa needs to develop? How much money Africa needs to develop? Because when it comes to numbers, we are very good at playing with numbers, especially looking at the African continent. But when you look at the report and pronunciation of Africa Finance Corporation, AFC, which indicated that Africa needs between 100 to 150 billion US dollars per year to cross its infrastructure gap. And economic growth of the continent over the years has fueled demand for even more infrastructure. You're asking yourself to say, where are these finance coming from? And also, most of Africa's critical infrastructure sector include electricity, roads, internet, water, and which has remained underdeveloped. And stated that World Bank estimated that crossing the continent infrastructure gap can increase growth rate by 2% per year. And you are asking yourself to say, is this a right advice? Has it been a right advice? And for how long Africans have been getting advice, and also where did we end up finding ourselves as a continent, and where did we find ourselves as countries? Because at the center of economic decision, in most cases, the past 70 years or so, there is World Bank, there is International Monetary Fund, there is international advisors on finance, and a little bit involvement of World Trade Organizations. But when it's coming to issues of developmental priorities, one must be able to present the fact to say the scholars of development or economic development, it's called this, the scholars of development finance, will also be able to agree with me to say when it's coming to development of Africa, particularly when it's coming to infrastructure, the borrowing plan has never been a successful plan when it's coming to Africa infrastructure. Because when you look at the prediction of 100 to 150 billion per year to fill the infrastructure gap, one must also be able to ask the question to say, when you fill that infrastructure gap, is it really going to improve? Or had it happened that the advice of borrowing finance to develop, had it happened that that advice has developed, you know, African continent, or it put Africans into more dangerous situations, or what is the way forward based on that? Because this is according to Africa Finance Corporation, AFC, and one must also be able to understand that the same AFC also stated that Africa has 4 trillion US dollars in domestic capital that can be channeled into infrastructure, with pension, insurance, sovereign wealth funds holding over 1.1 trillion alone. Now, yes, indeed, it's correct to look at domestic finance or domestic capital. But it's also quite important also, or quite crucial, to look at how Africans are utilizing, this domestic capital, particularly when it comes to infrastructure development and also maintaining of institutions, especially the state institutions, because state institutions, they were supposed to, or are supposed to, or they have to be the one which are driving priority areas, and they have to be the one
which, you know, when it comes to public affairs and development, either is giving of public service, they were supposed to be at the center of that. But at this juncture, the question is that how much money is enough to drive African developmental priorities and also to improve, you know, infrastructure development, because economists came and go, trade advisors came and go, international investors came and go, but the development standard of African continent is still questionable. To say we have started with this trading and developmental partners, but are we really where we are supposed to be? Are we moving toward the same direction? Or do we need to go and sit down and reflect on saying, no, I had David as my developmental partners and now things are not going well. Could it be that David is a problem? Or could it be that he is short-sighted due to the fact that lack of environmental awareness and also understanding of internal operation of how the continent is operating and understanding what is a priority is? Because building an infrastructure that of state of the art, where not even your graduates are able to maintain that, that is already a loss. Because building an infrastructure that is a state of the art, that no university can produce architects, civil engineers, and also artists, and that can maintain, not even coming up with, but maintain that infrastructure, will be another loss, because you create employment for others to come and work in your country and take their own money that they funded you to develop. And when you need maintenance, they can also come back and root. But those are the things which need to be addressed and analyzed. So, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we have 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation. But, what I'm indicating to you is that continue following Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. Like and share our page. And make sure that you have access to the Villager newspaper. Because when it comes to the Villager newspaper, every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, we'll give you content and also context on developmental issue, governance affairs, trade policies, and also what is happening within Namibian economy, what is happening within the continent of Africa, and also what need to be done, particularly when it's coming to the way forward, when it's coming to issues of development and global affairs. And you can, for your marketing, you can communicate with me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400-083-288-400. Yeah, and I think it's the right time to give the mic, to the big mic, to unpack the day. And stay tuned. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around. Let's give the mic to Mike and Ndangwa. The mic is on your way.